Mr. Ray, you were talking about praising at the beginning there. Is there any way we can turn that lady's voice down?
That's what I'm saying.
Which one?
That lady that's singing in the CDs. Because I tell you, a part of that I believe that stops some of the praises is when she begins to go off. Or when she begins to go into the... it may be just her singing, and I understand. Maybe it was different if it was one of our own and they were leading us. But it's almost like you're at a point where...
Unfortunately, those tapes, those CDs are not split track.
Right.
The tapes from the back of the book are what they call split track.
So right.
You can drop the voices out.
I tell you, I can sing some of the songs in the back of the book and have the Spirit of God move on my heart in such a real way. But I tell you what, some of those ones in the front, it's almost as if when she begins to go... It really just takes away from the spirit of the song and the doctrine and just the purity of the song.
Makes you feel
something
hurt.
You know, it's almost like it just takes you off and a part of you is feeling a little uncomfortable. I think sometimes that's what begins to pull me off of some of the songs in those moments. Tonight we're going to talk about maturity. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, if you guys want to open up your Bibles with me. The word mature is teleos. It's brought to its end, reaching completeness. I started to run out of room, so I didn't want to put too much. Human integrity and virtue. To become a full-grown man, an adult. Same level of knowledge. Mature in our thinking and our conduct. I looked it up in just the human dictionary, Webster's. And it says to become having completed natural growth rate. We were watching a thing last night on the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. And I could see them really singing too. A lot like the way the lady would sing, you know. And you could tell that this lady is probably moved in the spirit. And just by the way, it seems as if she has passion in her voice. And but they were in Anglo prison. Have you seen that one yet, Dave?
Angola
prison. And had to hear some of these men and their testimonies and the way that they have come to know the Lord in prison and to hear some of the peace that these men have and to hear them come to a point and say, listen, if it wasn't for me coming to prison, I wouldn't have come to know God, man. Praise God for prison. And I'm going, that's what I'm talking about. That's a sincere heart. And then there was one that you go, well, would you want to get out? No, I'm fine right here. I am content where God has me. You know, he goes, you know, one day if it's in God's will, then great. But really and truly, if in any way it may take me away from God, I'll stay right here. And to hear some of these testimonies from some of these men. But one in particular said, in order for me to minister, in order for me to teach, he says, sometimes I got to let people get mad at me. He says, I got to let them do it. He says, I had to come to the point where I realized that it was a greater value for that man to be mad at me for speaking the truth at him, speaking the truth to him, and allow him to be mad at me instead of trying to fix it. And as he began to say that, Michelle looks over at me, and I just knew she was going to look over at me. And one of the things that I've always had a hard time doing was anytime there was an issue or anytime there was a problem, I'd always want to fix it. It's just who I was. You know, from 19 years old, being in high school, going right at the plumbing trade, we were trained to fix stuff. And so all the way through, you know, from 19 on, I just assumed that, you know, we can fix stuff. And it was a part of the attitude, I guess, God had put in me to want to fix things. And so it was hard for me to let people be mad at me. I wanted to always fix it right then and there. And as this man began to speak that, and I remember Gary coming at me and telling me the same thing. And he says, sometimes you're going to have to just let people be mad and work through things, Josh. You can't change them. You got to let them work through it. And a big part of it that I came to a point and I realized, I said, it wasn't for me that I wanted to fix it. You know, it wasn't that part of me. It wasn't for my own self that I didn't want somebody to be mad at me. It was for them. Once I come to know Christ, I realized that the reason why I didn't want these people being angry is because I knew it wasn't good for them. And so I would try to come to them, and I would try to talk to them, and I would try to work things out with them. And sometimes you just couldn't. Some people just wanted to hold on to anger. Some people just wanted to be upset. That's what they wanted to do. And I would try, and it was almost like the harder I tried, the more angry they got. And I was like, man, I'm trying here, Lord, to make this thing right. And God goes, I know, but you can't change their hearts. I have to. But one of the biggest things that I realized was that, and it really is going through the book of Ephesians in that chapter 4, where you saw him say, if you look at me at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Literally means stronghold in your life. And so I remember coming to these points and realizing more of my concern were for the ones that got angry with me. It was for them. It was for their hearts. It was their relationship with the Lord. Because I knew if they held on to that anger, the devil was going to get a stronghold in their life. And then at that point, the root of bitterness begins to come in. And then at that point, your relationship with the Lord is not right. Your relationship within the church is not right. There's people in the church that you're holding. You know, I'm okay with this guy, but I'm not okay with this guy. So there's division that starts to occur within the body. And you can see the destruction that comes with it. And you have to sit back and you're going, God. And the thought is, you think sometimes, you know, people get aggravated with me. And I go, well, look, sometimes you just want to go, come on. Really? Are you going to get angry over this? Over this? Let it go. But some people just can't. Some people like to hold on to it. And that root of bitterness takes place. And division occurs. And before we know it, we're wearing a mask. And we're coming into church. And we're trying to put on a facade like we're okay. And we're okay until that one person crosses us. And then you just feel the hair on the back of your neck stand up. And listen, I've been there, so I know the dangers of it. And that's one of the things I try to warn against. Because I've been down that road. I've went down the road of competitiveness. And all it ever got me was emptiness in my heart. You know, emptiness. Always competing, always competing. I grew up competing. Within high school, and then getting out of school in the plumbing trade, competing, competing, competing to be the best. Had to be the best guy at the shop. You know, always had to prove the older guys wrong, that I could hang with them, could do this, or I could be the best helper. So everything was competition. And then you come in to know the Lord, and it's almost like you still carry over that same hunger, that same zeal. Everything's a competition. So you got to compete to be the best. But where it led me was a place of criticism, a place of tearing brothers and sisters down. It was not a place of love. It was not a place of building up. And the Lord really ministered to me and brought me out of that point in time in my life. But what I realized is, it's so true how that anger has to go. And it's no doubt that Paul in Ephesians 4 goes back to Psalms 4. And he says, sit on your bed. Meditate in your heart. Sit on your bed. Watch me work. And so we come to the point where a part of maturity is realizing we have to let that anger go. Because if you do not, you give Satan a stronghold in your life, which will wreak havoc in your own life, your family's life, workplace, church body. It will happen. It's a promise. It's a promise it'll happen. God's word says you're going to give Satan a stronghold. That's what he's going to do. No doubts about it. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Read this with me. We got ourselves, in Ephesians, one of the things in chapter 4, it tells us, he goes on, you know, gives us the list of the apostles, the pastors. He says, for the equipping of the saints, the work of service. And verse 13 really nails it. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. I'll be the 1 Corinthians in a minute. I'm reading Ephesians to you. To a mature man. I wanted to nail my point before we moved. To a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. If I could put it to you just regular words, full and complete standard of Jesus Christ. To a mature man, till we reach that standard, full and complete, is a part of that pastor's and that teacher's and that evangelist's job. But it's to every Christian that's being called to that standard. And chapter 4 opens up, to which you have been called. You have been. God has called you. Therefore, this is for you. The desire is to see you grow in the stature of His Son, the standard of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we take on all His character traits. That is Spirit-filled. That is our goal. So a lot of times as Christians, we get lost in this world. We stop realizing where we're going. There is somewhere where we're going, to the maturity of Jesus Christ. That's where I'm going. We stop challenging ourselves. We hear the Word of God being read sometimes from the pulpit, and it rubs us the wrong way, so we push it out. We get upset at the guy preaching because he didn't preach it the way I wanted to hear it. So I'm upset with that. So what he said is null and void because I don't like the way he said it. That's what we do as people. That is exactly what we do. I've done it. I've sat there and I've done it. And I've done it. So I know it happens. I'm just speaking truth. Brethren, chapter 14, verse 20 in 1 Corinthians. Brethren, do not be children in your thinking. Yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. Things that are counterproductive of Christ Jesus we'll put under the category of evil. Be children in that. Let's not be professionals in that. Let's not be mature in the things of evil. We don't want to be mature in those things. So every day that goes by for you and I is another day to grow in the maturity of Jesus Christ. The thought is, and I hear so many times, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I do things. Well, maybe it's time to change. Maybe we have to stop using that same old excuse of saying, well, you know, it's just who I am. Maybe it is time to go, maybe I need to reevaluate this. Is this coming up again in my life? Maybe I need to get a handle on this. So many times I see the card be pulled. Well, that's just the way I am. That's the way you are. How is Christ calling us to be? Is there something I need to change? Is it my tongue that needs to be tamed? Is it my heart that needs to be changed? Is it the way I speak to people? Is it the way I talk to someone when they're wrong? Is it the way I correct them? Is it the way I come alongside them? Is it the way I view them? Whatever it may be. It's just every day is another day for Christ Jesus to reign in our bodies and not to be a slave to our sin, our corrupt nature, as Ephesians 4 nails so aptly. Turn me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Now, this is Paul. He's trying to nail down for these Colossians. That chapter 1 is a beautiful chapter, by the way, the whole thing. If you get time to read it, you need to read it. It says in verse 28, we proclaim him. It's almost like he's telling them his main point. We proclaim him, which is Jesus Christ, admonishing every man, building up, exhorting, encouraging, teaching, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, skill in the art of living, one of Mr. Don's favorite words, with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. That word complete there can also be put in as maturity. Complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which works mightily within me. We have a danger that has infiltrated the Christian life. You can turn back to Ephesians 4 with me. And the danger that has infiltrated the Christian life is the ways of this world have come in and infiltrated our lives as Christians, of what we've been called. And the thought process of the world has come in and it's infiltrated the Christian life. We're watching it all over the place happen. There's nothing new under the sun, but I'm seeing a wave of it in my generation. It's almost like we can take the way the world lives and just say, okay, but I'm a Christian, but I'm going to operate in the same realm that they operate. I'm going to run in the same way that they run. And we wonder why we get tired. And we wonder why we run out of gas. And we wonder why we don't have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. We wonder why we're upset. We wonder why we're fighting. We wonder why we're not happy. Why we're not getting along. Are we operating in the realm of the world? Are you operating in the realm of the Spirit? So we're going to break up tonight into some groups. And, okay. Andrew, could you just gather the young people up with you? Kind of grab some of those young people. And then Mr. Don, would you kind of take this group right here? You got them? Mr. Craig, you want to kind of... A couple of y'all, we all break over there with Tom. Tom, you got this group? No, ma'am. Well, you would think that we would be.
I hope so.
So y'all kind of slide over there with Tom. Y'all get... If you want to move some chairs, you can. If you don't want to, you can kind of turn around and get comfortable back there on those back ones. Not as hard to move. Mr. Craig here, I'm going to help you turn these right here around. Look at that. Hook them together. Slam. Look at that. Perfect. Huh? No, they're just really light. Come on, boy. Mr. Ray, you want to come here and sit with them? Come on, you can't sit back there. You got to get up here with them. Mr. Buddy, you want to come over and join Mr. Don's group? All right, so we're looking at maturity, and we know that really nails it in Ephesians chapter 4. So one of the things I wanted to do, Mr. Craig, you got verses 1 through 6. So as we're thinking about this maturity in Christ Jesus, and we know this chapter really tries to nail it down. So in your verses 1 through 6, if you had to kind of pull a principle away and pointing to maturity, what would that kind of be? So, and one of the things that I found as we've been going through men's prayer on Saturday, and one of the things I really want to encourage a lot of you in, just allow the Word of God to minister to your hearts. I have really found, just going through this men's prayer on Saturday, through the book of Acts, the Word of God, it just keeps ministering to me. It just keeps ministering to me. So as I'm in this Word, and I'm trying to spend some time with the Lord, the Word of God is just, it's renewing my heart. It's just teaching me, whoa, and it's like every other time I'm going, wow, you know, really, this is something new. It's refreshing. Refreshes your soul. So as you're going through these things, a lot of times we as Christians can hear the Word of God and allow it to bog us down because we get guilty or we go, oh, great, now I'm going through this. The Word of God has been given to us to set us free. So really and truly, when we hear the Word of God, it's not to bog us down. It's to go, wow, I need to change direction. Praise God. But a lot of times that flesh is so entrenched in us, we don't want to change direction. So this is where the Word of God doesn't become ministering anymore. It becomes convicting. So in chapter 4, Mr. Craig, you got verses 1 through 6. We're really trying to kind of nail down walking in a maturity of Christ. That's what we're going to kind of title this. So what would be verses 1 through 6, walking in the maturity of Christ? Andrew's group, you guys got 7 through 16. What would be walking in the maturity of Christ based on that paragraph? Tom, you got 17 through 24. What's walking in the maturity of Christ in those verses? And then Mr. D, 25 through 32.
So
we'll give about 20 minutes in the group, and then we'll close it up in about 10, and kind of just work through it. So you guys take about 15 minutes, kind of work through it. What does the walking in maturity look like in this paragraph?
One Lord, one faith. Because how many times have people left?
We give you guys about 15 minutes, kind of working through some of those verses. Y'all got 1 through 6, don't you?
That's not what
true
Christianity is.
So if you have people who are mature in Christ and people who are not, how do you have
that? That's a good question.
There is unity.
So it sounds something like sticking to the truth. Because the truth don't change.
Yeah.
It's one thing that will always bring the immature up with you.
So if you're walking in maturity,
how would maybe that would be a way to teach?
I think it's the negativity to the point is telling you what you shouldn't do, as opposed to right. I mean, and that by looking at what you shouldn't do, it's also it points to what you should do. But it says when it first 25 says land your flight side falls, and 26 be angry, get to do that sin.
What do you guys have? 7 through 16, right? Y'all guys come up with anything yet? Okay. Walking in the maturity of Christ.
30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. 31 is let all bitterness be dealt with. Get rid of all bitterness, wrath, anger, and all that. You know?
You're in verse 7 through 16. Yeah.
So I definitely see where he's talking about maturity from 14 through 16.
Okay, a big part of 7 through 9, what he's talking about here, is that Christ went to hell and back to give the church gifted men. And those gifted men got to do something. And sometimes when those gifted men do what God's calling them to do, the tendency of man is to get angry. The tendency of man is to rear up against that. So walking in maturity might be going, God's called these men to train me. So instead of me becoming adversarial or rebellious to them, maybe I need to be listening to them. Maybe I need to realize that the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus has set these men apart to train us in maturity. So there's a few more things in there, but that'll kind of get you guys going. The very thought is, especially with this age group, is to go, oh, he's just another man, he's just another preacher. I mean, really, yeah, telling them what to do. But really and truly, God has set this man apart to teach, to train. Why? So that you can grow in the maturity of Christ Jesus, not the maturity of man. That's totally opposite. The maturity of man is totally opposite. It's not the maturity of Jesus Christ. There's two different things that people talk about. And the very pride of man wants to get mature in his own manhood, not in Christ Jesus, especially this age group. Right. Part of maturity too is going to be holding these truths together, because as part of that church in Ephesians, we know he's talking to, not holding, making sure these truths are preserved, because we know the world's trying to come in and Satan's trying to come in and pull them out. Baptism, it can come anyway, right? As a child, as, you know, we'll sprinkle. See what I'm saying? But he says one baptism. So part of that maturity in Christ is going to be sticking to these truths and holding them true. This is God's truth. It's not mine to change. This is God's. You know? I can't compromise that. I have to hold his truth. So there's all kinds of angles you can come from in different things.
Sacred thing that is coming up against him. Instead of going to God, he was
outside.
Something out.
You know, he didn't try, you know, the thing, and the kicker is, if you read the whole, you read the whole thing, this will happen, so, just finish the cross-check product, we're looking at it through the Bible. You know, and you go, and you see it going through, and out he was doing right, and winning, and prospering, and then this came along, and instead of saying, okay, God, we're depending on you, the first time, the second time around, first time around.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
Yep.
On the same.
Same thing. They got it from the Bible. It didn't come from Hanya Robbie or nothing like that.
Right.
No, Kunta Kinte or anything like that.
Or some program, right?
When you see your child, your grandchild, you know, taking off. I'm thrilled by cars. She might get better. Might do this, might be
sorry.
So that's the same thing.
Well, the same thing. Keep dwelling.
Right.
On it.
Yeah.
You're suffering for nothing.
Correct.
And it just compounds and then improves everything else.
Right.
And that speaks back to me. You know, to the tour for a while. You know, okay, I think something. But I don't know. When Brox was first diagnosed with kidney problems. I did the first thing. My first thought was, why? What did we do? I used to be regularly associated pastor in the church. You know, there's something about it. I was also arguing with you. Also, being a part of my class. You know, he was in my car, and I would reported to him.
Because
and then they were talking one time, and I had it, and I said, and I know for some reason it came up.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I'd heard it from somebody.
That's right. And so
we do something wrong.
You can't.
And I look at him and I'm thinking about Lazarus.
I don't think you're
Lazarus. Thought,
so
what Christ
took. This is not arguing.
He said he believed that this happened. Who sinned?
Was his parents or
his parents? This was done to show the power to God.
I don't see that.
That's the thing.
So maturity real in our lives, in this chapter. You got to ask yourself, what's it telling you in this paragraph? Like if we had to nail down one thing, and really just kind of nail it down, it would be one thing you could really nail down. There's one thing he really points out that I really like to grab hold of it, and that's lay aside the old self. That's a big one. So, right. So, former manner of life. So if I have still same mannerisms that I had before I was saved, has there been a change? And is there a tendency to kind of just go back to just what's comfortable? So what God's trying to tell us here is, it's time to stop that. It's time to stop doing that. Stop going back to what's comfortable. You've got to take this step and be renewed from the Spirit of God and be transformed in your heart and mind. Because the tendency is just to act the way I act, as I was talking about earlier. It's just the way I act. It's just who I am. No, it's not. You've been born again Christian. So the tendency is for men and women alike is just to, you know, we'll give over mostly everything, but then there's certain things that, like attitude-wise, or financial, or whatever it may be, mannerisms, the way, certain thinking. It's almost like he's telling us, you got to lay aside the old self. that was corrupted with sin. You got to lay it aside. And you need to be transformed from the Spirit of God in your heart and mind. And so really he's saying that step of maturity is going to be us being willing to say, I don't want to operate this way no more. I'm done. Lord, change me. And it really does come from prayer. I love Psalms 4. He says, sit on your bed and meditate. And it's a beautiful song. But it's really the truth. Because that's when that change comes. So I think a big thing that nails that maturity is, are we going to be willing to lay aside that old self? And different ones of us know different things. I mean, I could tell you me, but... You know, mine is, I have a hot temper. So a part of me knows that when that hot temper goes to flare up, gosh, I got to put this away from me. And you see at the end of the chapter, put away wrath, malice, deceit. Put these things away from me. And so that's a part of me that I have to battle with. But I don't want to walk into that person anymore. So the part of maturity is recognizing myself and coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, change my heart. It says we die to the flesh daily. Remember Paul? So these are things, if we had to really nail something down in that chapter, and you take it home tonight, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? What time is it, Tracy? It's what? It's 8? All right, let's wrap this up. Y'all got y'all? Y'all got it? All right. I knew y'all would. All right, let's we got about 15 minutes left. Don't we usually wrap up about 8:15? Okay, so we got about 15 minutes left. What we want to do, Mr. Craig's group have verses 1-6. One of the goals tonight was just to allow the Word of God to minister to you and to really see. I mean, we all hear the verse, grow in the maturity of Christ. And we hear it, and so easily we walk away from it. So easily life comes in, and our relationship with Christ tends to take the back seat sometimes. And that's being real. Let's be real. Life picks up. That Bible doesn't get picked up as much. The Word of God doesn't get read as much. And then I begin to walk in just who I am. I live life every day as who I am. I'm a born-again Christian, yes. I'm a believer. But if I stop trying to press on to the mark of the goal of the high calling, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, have I stopped striving? Have I stopped? And so a part of tonight is for us to really take away from this chapter. We know what the Bible says. I'm supposed to be mature in Jesus Christ. Yeah, I know, but, you know, I got upset tonight. Okay? But the tendency is we begin to trust in ourselves instead of being attached to the vine and let that vine in the Spirit of God to move in our hearts through the Word of God and through prayer. And how many times you guys know that time that you spent alone with the Lord, and then you went prepared for that day, and you've walked out, and you've had, and you've walked in that spirit, and you know the difference. You know the difference. But so easily we allow the things of this world to come in, and it throws us off course, and then we're walking in our own strength, we're walking in the flesh, and we're trying to do the right thing, but we're not walking in the Spirit. We stop pressing on towards maturity in Christ Jesus. So he comes in Ephesians 4. Now, Mr. Craig, y'all have verses 1-6, brother. Y'all had to nail down, like, tonight, there was one thing you would say, walking in the maturity of Jesus Christ, in those first 6 verses, is there, like, one thing that really nails down for you guys?
Well, I wanted to get a consensus before I offered it up. But we talked about unity.
Yes, sir.
Oneness, honesty, Christ's long-suffering and forbearance. And I think what we're going for, and I was going to ask the group this, but I think what we're going for is our lives reflecting Christ in us.
Right.
So So.
Right.
Our life reflecting. Yeah.
Right. So the one thing you guys say walking away tonight is, are your lives reflecting Christ in you? One of the things that I heard you guys talking about, unity, oneness, we know that those kind of mean the same. But there was one key word in there that I really wanted to nail down. And that was, which in NASB, the newer one, Mr. Dees, is yours say show intolerance, yours say forbearance. Gary says forbearance. I think yours might think says forbearance too, doesn't it?
What were we looking at?
Showing forbearance. See?
Verse 2.
Gary likes the word forbearance better than the word tolerance, because he says the forbearance gives it more of us bearing with one another.
Forbearing one another in love.
That's going to be a big one. Are we forbearing one another in love? You know, while we're not going to compromise on that truth of God, we cannot compromise on the truth. But are we going to be willing to forbear one another? Showing tolerance for one another in love. So easily the world is just so quick to slap the hammer. Are we going to be that way as Christians in maturity with each other within the body of Christ? But, you know, and being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. I think that's what you guys are talking about. Being diligent to preserve that unity, which is only going to come through the person of Christ being reflected in your lives. But being willing almost to the degree of forbearing with a brother that may be struggling that day, as I was sharing with you guys earlier, allowing someone to be mad at me because I have to speak the truth. I cannot compromise. But forbearing that, knowing that we're diligently trying to preserve the unity of that Spirit and not attacking back or not trying to get someone to think in my way of thinking, but really that person of Christ, as you were saying, one thing you guys wanted to walk away with tonight is Christ showing in your lives? Is that something that's happening? Are people seeing Christ in your life? In verses 1 through 6. I would also say, in the way that we handle preserving truth, I had an opportunity not too long ago to talk with a chaplain, and this chaplain and me were not on the same wavelength. And he was coming from a different wavelength with traditions and man's traditions and everything tied in. But my goal when I went into that was not to win an argument. My goal was to win him over with the truth. And then it came to a point where I realized he stood firm where he was. And at that point, I said, then Christ Jesus is the only way to salvation. He says, yes. And I said, then that we can agree upon. You know. And so it's not so much to win an argument for a Christian, as much as it is we desire to win someone over by preserving that truth. And so it's very important that it's going to be in those times that maturity is going to be there. So many times we go in just wanting to win an argument. And I think we've all been in that stage. I can look at two of my brothers now, and I know that we're constantly in these battles. Okay, 7 through 16, young people, what do we got over here? Y'all got like a hotbed. There's a hotbed of principles.
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, you want to
nailed in that one.
I mean, something that you had even brought to kind of help bring a shed a little light on is 9 through 12, talking about how, you know, these elders have been placed here for us to learn from.
Yes.
For us. We are not no longer be children. It's from the knowledge that they have, that they're bringing to us, that we can actually grow and mature.
Yes.
And not be tossed back and forth and just move back and forth, because we're listening to these teachers and these pastors and these elders that God has given us
mm-hmm.
to teach us. And then it follows up in 15, and it goes, because they're teaching this, they're speaking this in the truth of love, and it's like as if unity as well is coming into this, and that's how you walk in the maturity of Christ, is understanding we're all a body. We're all joints.
That's right.
In certain ways.
That's right.
And that it's the leaders that are to teach us and to grow us, and that's a part of maturity.
Right.
Is understanding what they're teaching us.
So a part of maturity, even in that paragraph, is to be willing to learn.
Yeah.
And to realize that each one of us has a very important part within the body. But see, this is why I put them in that paragraph.
I know.
Okay. Okay, so a part of maturity that comes in Christ Jesus is going to come through you being willing to learn, teaching, allowing people to teach you. It's also a part is realizing God has chosen certain men to teach you. And it's not to tear you down, it's to build you up in Christ. A lot of times, the very thought is that you guys want to set up walls. And that's with anybody. That's with any age group. It doesn't matter. But once someone begins to teach, and if it just rubs the wrong way, the tendency is to build up a wall or to get angry or to get upset. Instead of go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me here? Mm-hmm. Because you have obviously set this man apart. The Spirit of God has set this man apart. It says in that paragraph that Christ went to hell and back to ordain certain men. So the Lord is obviously trying to teach me something. And so at that point, a part of it too is to realize that you're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves. Waves means agitated in your mind and carried about by every wind of doctrine. People are getting slammed from every which way out here with different preachers, TV televangelists. I mean, you just go. I'm watching some stuff that is just, whoa. I'm going, these guys are something else. How is this even being done? Is what I'm asking myself. But people are gravitating towards these lies because it does something for them. That too. Tickles their ears, and we were going to nail that tonight before we closed. And so a part of it is, the part of that maturity is you're going to be nailed down into stability and being willing to learn. That's going to be a big part of maturity in that paragraph. Am I willing to learn? And am I willing to hear long enough to allow myself to be taught? Go ahead, guys.
I was going
to
also say that one of the other big things that we pulled away from it is the heart of it. If we're loving, if our heart is as the learners, if our heart is in love and that is our focus, then we're not going to be upset. We're not going to be tossed to and fro because we're going to be going, they're loving us, they're teaching us.
Right.
Our heart is focused on mm-hmm.
Right. So if you had to say, if there was one thing that I would say you got to nail down, is that you would realize that a part of maturity in Christ is coming to that point of realizing there is something to be learned. There is my goal to listen, but to grow to the stature of Jesus Christ. That means the fullness of Him, to be willing to learn and to be willing to go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I remember many a time sitting in the out here and Gary preaching and me just being hot. I mean hot, man, angry. And I learned that was the Spirit of God convicting my heart. And I needed to go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, what do I need to learn from this? Because I knew Gary's heart was right. I knew Gary was teaching the truth. And I knew his goal was to build me up and to preach the Word of God. I knew that. And I knew that the Word of God was true. So it was me who needed to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you need to teach me? So easily we allow ourselves to get upset and we get angry. And then we just close the walls. The wall's built and we don't want to hear anything. Tom's group, 17 through 24. What are you guys nailing down? Right.
Have you, you know, our sister verse seems to be 1 Corinthians 13:11.
Uh-huh.
I was a child, I spoke as a child, I reasoned like a child.
Right.
But now we have a new self, we have a new life, there's a Christian journey now has taken on that doesn't have to go back to those ways.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't want to go back to those ways.
Right. Okay. I would go along the same lines with you. Being willing, I think a big part of growing the maturity of Christ is being willing to be renewed by the Spirit of Christ, not to depend upon your old way of thinking, letting go of who I was and my thoughts and my patterns. Being willing to simply say, let's ask ourselves this. When I come to know Jesus Christ, right? Everybody has a testimony, I believe, in this room. Now, since you've come to know Christ Jesus, are you still the same person? You shouldn't be. That's what I'm saying. There should be new in you. You should be born again. The Spirit of Christ is going to be within you. But we know Paul tells us you got to fight this flesh daily. There's another verse in chapter 9, verse 27. I beat my flesh into submission so that I myself will not be disqualified when I preach to others. So we know there's a battle going on. Romans tells us there's a battle going on within us. But once I've come to receive Jesus Christ, is there something within me that has changed? Or am I still kind of the same person? Am I still just kind of that same person? Or is there a change in me? And a big part of it that I would say to nail down in that paragraph, set aside the old self. Be renewed in the Spirit of Christ. That means be transformed in His Spirit. And you begin to walk in the newness of life. The person who you were, your old habits, your old tendencies, your old patterns. And then another thing, too, a big thing, is the way you think. The way you think is going to be a big thing. Because it's easy to change this and this. But it's this right here that's got to change. And this right here. Because we can still think this way and dress it up with our words. But we still think the same way. But we just gotten good at making it look good. So the thinking even has to be renewed. Renewed in the mind and the heart. You know what I'm saying? Matt, do you want to say something?
Yeah, I heard something about like what you were saying with I heard this somewhere that you can't think your way into a new way of thinking. You have to act your way into a new way of thinking.
Actually, it's not even that. The Spirit of Christ, I surrender to Him, and the Spirit of Christ changes everything in me. That's it. I can't even act into a different way of thinking. Can't happen. You can't. You can't. Your actions will not change you. You can sit here and say, so I'm not going to do this today. Reading the Bible will. That's the Spirit of Christ. But that's the Spirit of Christ that's changing you.
But reading it alone doesn't change you.
Reading it alone.
Something else has to happen.
It's the Spirit. The Spirit of Christ within you.
What you're talking about, Matt, is a behavior modification.
Yeah, you can't do behavior modification.
Behavior modification doesn't work.
No.
I've seen it more and more time and time and time again. It might stave off certain aspects of a person's issues
for a while.
For a season.
Right.
But it always comes to the fore.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a week, it may be a month, it may be a year down the road, but it comes back out. The only transforming power on this earth is Christ Himself. He's the one who literally transforms not just what we think, but how we feel and what we desire. He can literally change your desires and cause you to want what He wants. But that, now there are actions that we will take in the process of that happening. But I've seen it like an instantaneous thing when the Spirit of God gets a hold of a person's life. Whoa, you can't argue with it. You can't argue with it.
Colossians 3, 2. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died, your life is hidden with Christ in God, and Christ, who is our life, is revealed. Then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. It's only through Him. Mm-hmm. It's not an action we can do. Because we're dead. We're dead. Dead men can't move. So we're dead. And it's through Christ that everything.
There's a verse in Matthew, and I have to find it, but Christ is there, and it says the spirit of the man left, and he went out, and the spirit couldn't find where to rest, and
he came back with
seven of his buddies, seven more spirits, evil spirits, and they came back to that house, which represents a vessel, the person, and that vessel was swept, it was put in order, it was nice and neat. It reminds me of a lot of programs.
Matthew 12?
Yeah. Well, is it? And so with that vessel was nice and neat and clean, and he got straight without Christ. Well, what's going to happen is that spirit that left, the one you kicked out, you master, he's going to come back with seven of his friends. They're going to be stronger. They're going to come back in, and the worst state is going to be worse than the beginning. It's going to be worse. It's going to be worse than it ever was before. And I'm going to tell you, a big part of it is going to be pride. Because a man thinks he can get right without Christ. That's pride. And that's more dangerous than any kind of drug
addiction.
Yeah,
the pride
go
is
ahead.
The worst thing.
You wanted to read it?
Pride? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
This paragraph has to do with our relationship with our Christian brothers. It says, verse 25, that we are members of one another. So don't speak falsely. Don't be angry against your brother. And don't steal from your brother. Why should you grieve the Holy Spirit? It ends in verse 32 and says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving others, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. That we, with our actions and how we interact with our brothers, that we shouldn't put on those faces, as you said.
Right.
We shouldn't lie against each other and be angry with each other. But we should give each other, forgive each other as Christ forgave us.
Right. That's the maturity aspect.
Yeah.
The maturity in Christ, too. I agree with Sean. I need to be honest with my friends, even though they may get angry with me, but to know enough to know, I can't hold on to this anger either myself. But sometimes we have to tell our friends things that are not easy. That's a true friend. We can't compromise the truth. And so I think that's a big part of why he says, don't let this anger go down. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, because you can see that something's wrong. And the thought is, I'm going to go right then, right? But then Ephesians kind of comes in. He goes, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. It's almost like you get a picture, and then he uses Psalms 4, be angry yet do not sin. It's almost like I get a picture of Paul telling us, sit on your bed. Pray about this. Get your heart right on this situation. And then watch him work. I've found that in those moments, especially because let's just say it's not necessarily a sin issue. Let's say it's an attitude issue. Let's say that it's something that you could see getting ready to take place. And you're going, oh, this ain't good. And the tendency is to go up and say, listen here, I got to tell you something. But a big part of that, he's saying, sit on your bed at Psalms 4. Watch God work. I have found in those moments where I sat on my bed and just really started to pray about it, it's not long before either that something happens in that person's life, and I didn't even have to say a word, or that very same person comes up to me and goes, hey, I need to ask you a question. And you go, okay, Lord. But then you realize, but your heart has been prepared. Your heart's been prepared, and so your words are already ready to build them up. It's in grace. See what I mean? You're not ready to just beat them in the corner.
If you
go ahead.
Do feel that need.
To beat them in the corner?
You
better not.
You need to back up and get back on your bed.
Yeah.
And pray some more.
Sometimes you got to stay on your bed for a couple days.
Well, and, you know,
I know.
It's when that irritating situation comes in.
Yes.
I want to say situation, but let's just be honest. When that irritating person does whatever it is that irritates you, and you're ready to just go off and about three shades of purple.
Right.
You've had it for the last time. Pray for them.
Yes.
You cannot stay angry.
I can't sit here any longer. You guys, you're missing something here terribly.
Okay.
I'm sorry. And David's not sitting on. He's trembling. He is.
No, I agree. Psalms 4.
He is past that point. He is trembling. He's going to have 3:5.
104:5.
Yeah. No. Psalm 4:5. Verse 5. Come right after. Sit on your. Tremble on the side of your bed. Tremble. Do not sin. Meditate in your heart and be upon your bed and be still.
Right. 5. Offer a sacrifice to righteousness and trust in the Lord.
Okay.
Which is putting away anger slander, wrath.
Offering a sacrifice of righteousness.
Yeah.
That's a behavior modification. I know you guys hate behavior modifications, but when I'm mad enough to hit somebody, I'm trembling, and I start thanking God, that's a behavior modification.
Well, that's Christ changing your heart.
No. I'm talking about I need to change my behavior.
But that's you going before the Lord and Christ changing your heart.
When you're mad enough, you're trembling, mm-hmm. you're not talking to God. You are wrestling in your flesh, and you're modifying your behavior. But you absolutely, positively have to modify your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You get
mm-hmm.
mad enough to hit somebody, you have to modify your behavior.
So you're going to walk in the Spirit?
You have to.
So is that Christ?
Absolutely.
Okay. It's not you.
It's a behavior modification.
But it's not you. Well, it's Christ in you.
It's a behavior modification.
But is it the Spirit?
It's a partnership with the both of you allowing Christ to work in your
All
body.
I'm saying is it the Spirit of Christ
okay.
within you? There's no good thing within me.
It's all Christ.
Right? Yeah. All my righteousness is but what?
Filthy
rags. So there ain't no good thing that dwells in me. Yeah. Right?
I understand what Craig's saying.
And I do.
Thank you.
We do change our actions, and in that sense, it is behavior modification. What I think we're trying to...
It's the maturity of Christ in you, desiring to grow in the maturity of Christ. That's what it is.
When you're trembling, you're not desiring to grow.
But this is my point. But this is my point. You may be angry. You may be angry. But at some point, you're turning to Christ. Because if it was not Christ within you, the old self would react in a different way.
The old self would have already done it.
The old self would act in a different way. But Christ within you, it's even in those moments, He's desiring to work in you. His Spirit is working. So there's a part of you that's doing what? That knows enough to say, I need to back up, right? So that's Christ in you. That's the Spirit of Christ within you. Because there's no good thing that dwells in me. I can't take, praise God for changing my heart. Lord, I thank you for changing my heart right now because I know that was you. I know that was not me. There comes a humbleness in that. And it has to be the Spirit of Christ because if not, it's boasting in ourselves. It has to be. He's the only good thing in me. It has to be. That's the maturity, growing in the stature. But, isn't that the verse in 4? Growing in the stature and the maturity of Jesus Christ. To be complete in Him. So the only thing that would even cause us to even want to not go that way would be Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That would be the only thing that would even make me want to go the other way. That would be it. And that's the Word of God. That's the only good thing that would even want me to change my direction. In 2 Timothy 4, we're going to close. The only good thing that dwells in me is Christ Jesus. All my righteousness is but filthy rags. That's the truth.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
I solemnly charge you. Yes, sir. And that's the truth. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, the living and the dead, and by His appearing, His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate teachers for themselves in accordance with their own desires. And will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. There's going to be a time where we're watching it already. They're accumulating teachers. They're accumulating teachers tickling their ears. And we're watching it happen because of man's pride. And we're watching men compromise left and right on the truth of God. And people are picking these men up that have grown weak. And they're padding their pockets or whatever it may be, power. And these men have turned. So a big part of where we are tonight is to realize the maturity of Jesus Christ. It has to be something that we press on towards. It has to be. And if we've not pressing on towards that, as Paul says in Philippians, I press on to the mark of the high calling is what I do. And if we're not doing that, then we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you now, Lord, I do thank you that, Father, we do know that there is no good thing that dwells within us, but only you. And so, Lord, even tonight, as we wrestle through these things, Father, may your Spirit begin to do the work in these hearts. And may we all grow in the maturity of who you are. And may we realize it's not even our way of thinking. It's not the way we operate. Everything needs to be changed through your Spirit and to walk in more of the likeness of who you are. That is what you've called us to do. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you. And, Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.